I am unashamed. What about you?
Well, we got Uncle Si in the podcast lair, in the unashamed lair. This is the first time you've done the podcast from this locale, Si.
From this locale, that's right. Because we did it up there at the lodge.
That's exactly right. Phyllis's new house. Yep. So
we were all together. Phil was in front, leaving the duck blind. We waited.
And wondering
30,
we waited 30 minutes for him, but
wondering
where
what happens. We were killing a lemon every day, but the last few days have been 8 and 9. So that's what I think has caused the problems.
So Dad's kind of...
Well, now he's trying to fix it.
Yeah.
You know, call Canada.
Hey, I wish it would work like that, James. Because I would dial them right up and say, hey, send us another few thousand.
But it's, you know...
It's actually, though, been... Like, I only hunted open today, but it's actually been probably the best opening stretch in years.
Yeah, about 5 years.
At least.
Full moon hit, and everything slowed down.
All right, so explain that. You told me that earlier.
Well, look, my best buddy in Kansas, he goes by the moon, but he taught me that a lot of times when the full moon hits, ducks become nocturnal because they're going by God's flashlight, is what I call it. Because you can see, I mean, this morning, I didn't need a light to get to the destination in a boat.
Yep.
You could see.
Yep.
And so ducks feed at night. And so we kill a few early because they've been eating all night. But they start moving. Now, I don't know where they go during the day, but they're not flying. And we even see that at our place. When we were leaving out, I jumped up two deer. I mean, just like I was going to get the boat. And they took off. Well, then they got up. More ducks than we saw the entire morning flying.
So they're just sitting.
They're just sitting there. So they're not moving around in the daytime. Yeah. So what you do is you go at about 2 o'clock. We're going to do it today.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I don't know what's wrong. Because the quality of ducks, we know they're new. We shot 3 widgeon today.
And it's all 3 more.
Yeah. We don't have widgeon.
Right.
So I know
so
they
new ducks
they
are
came,
here.
Yeah, they came. We had 2 mallards this morning. You could tell they had never been there before in their life. They just come right in the hole. So, I mean, it's quality. It was quality 9 ducks. It's just very few are flying because they're gone nocturnal. So they start moving in the afternoon, especially when it's cold. Like, it's really cold for here.
So it's like the military side. It's adapt and overcome, right? That's
yep.
what you learn. They're moving around at night, so you got to change how you
move. I mean, they kept griping and complaining. I don't know what the problem is. And, there he is.
Right.
Come on in.
I didn't think you'd show.
We didn't even know you was there.
Started with get you some coffee and let's reminisce.
That's right.
Yeah, let's talk about the goings on. So while Dad's getting his coffee, so I'll go ahead and give you. You got a new podcast. Duck Commander has a new podcast.
Yep,
I saw
And so it's going to be basically. It's from what I understand.
It's 5 of them.
It's Uncle Si, Martin, and Johnny D.
Yep.
The Slobby Man Assistant.
And
then you've got a rotation.
Big Johnny Gowan.
Johnny Gowan. Who sounds like
Philippe.
Saul. Yep. Any kind of Saul. I call him a Sawzall. I can't understand a word he says. So I don't know how are they going to translate? Because for people who listen, they're just out.
Well, yeah, hey, sometimes.
Unless you have an interpreter come over.
Yeah, but sometimes they got to have an interpreter for me. So yeah, that'll be nothing new.
But you just changed the English language. Gowan, he goes, I say, what? So then he changes blades. He goes, I was like, no, nope, all I'm getting is a blade.
Yeah, then it gets intensive. He gets intense.
Is that just me, or can you understand him?
I can understand him. I've listened to him more, I think, so I can understand him a little
bit. Yeah, you used to live next door.
But he
reminds me of that movie, you know, where they were making fun of Louisiana, and that coach, they had a Cajun coach, you know?
Yep.
What was that show called?
Oh, that was, you're talking about
the Water Boy?
Water Boy.
He'd go, I saw that one. But all of them knew what he said. But what the heck?
Which is funny because when LSU hired Orgeron, You know, the first thing he said at the first news conference is, I'm the first LSU coach without an accent, which I thought was really funny.
Yeah, well, it was. That was kind of
cute. Glad to have you. Take a biscuit. Make yourself at home. They'll edit that out. So here's what my concerns are.
Since daylight, I'm going after the chicken bitter, whoever brought them.
Well, if you start smacking, you're going to have to move that mic back, because that's going to drive me crazy. So
that's what you got to love about the Unashamed Podcast.
Go ahead and run your mouth. I'm going to just carry on a little food here.
All right.
Nice. So just, the five people doing a podcast seems, especially when you got Cy and Martin, I don't see how the other three is ever going to say a word. Have y'all filmed any?
Yeah, we have.
It actually releases tomorrow.
Who did the talking in the podcast?
No, I was shocked at that. I figured it'd be like you talking about talking over each other. No, most of it is they're being very polite.
No, I don't mean they're talking over each other. I predict that you and Martin will do all the talking, 95%.
Because Martin knows everything, and then Cy thinks
he knows everything. He is a know-it-all.
Well,
that's
you know why.
Why me and him talk a lot, yell at each other.
You know why? He's got a big head.
That's right.
He has the biggest head of a human being I've ever seen.
As big as that clock on the wall up there. He wears a size hat, about 40. But, hey, speaking about that, when I come in the military and got drafted, my drill sergeant, I could take a bath in his hat. I'm serious. Hey. This boy weighed 450 pounds, but you had to respect him, okay?
Yeah.
Because, look, I took AIT on Fort Bragg.
I have no idea what that means.
Not AIT, basic. I took basic on Fort Bragg.
That's where they holler at you, though.
You do not walk on Fort Bragg. I mean, I can't even think of the name right now.
Pope?
Anyway, it's in Georgia.
Oh.
Fort Benning?
Benning. Fort Benning, Georgia. Okay. You do not walk there, so you run everywhere. Well, we run everywhere. Well, I'm 130 pounds, so I ain't worried about running. Okay? He's carrying 450, and he run everywhere we did. So, hey, you had to respect the man.
So Martin reminds you of this guy?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Martin's a large man.
Look, when we
you got Stone, but he never says anything.
Yeah. No, Stone's quiet. No, look, when we seen the drill sergeant coming, we lost the drill sergeant, and he showed up. Big Oaf is what we called him, behind his back. We wouldn't say it to his face.
You didn't say it to his face.
But anyway, look, we see a taxi cab coming down. Look, the right side of it is sparking. It looks like somebody's got a grinder going, but it's a taxi cab. It pulls up, and when he steps out, then it comes up where it ain't grinding.
He was dragging.
He was dragging.
Are you sure he didn't weigh more than 450
pounds? Oh, no. Hey, he was a man. And look, he's about 6'6", okay? Oh, no. He was a man.
He was a drill instructor?
And he was my drill instructor. Look.
He didn't holler at you, did he?
Did he holler at me? Hey, graduation, I'm in dress greens.
Yeah.
And he got in my face, and I started laughing because I never could. The whole time I had him, he'd get right in my just nose to nose. And when he did, I couldn't help but laugh, and he'd drop me. I did 350 push-ups. Just
because you couldn't quit laughing.
Couldn't laugh. He'd say, knock out 50, so, you know, maggot.
He didn't. You know, he called you maggot?
Yeah,
maggot.
Yeah, you know, and I'd knock out 50 and jump back up. He'd get right against my nose again. I'd bust out laughing. Get down, maggot. Give me 50 more. I've done 350. Finally got the laughing and the grinning off.
Yeah. He didn't use any four-letter words, did he?
Yeah. He used words like drop, make it.
That's what. Look, Si told me they were doing this is for real. He told me they were doing the podcast. I was like, what are you going to call it? I was like, well, we need to think up a name, you know. We can call. I thought about sidekicks.
Yeah.
No. Because you know, fans. What we're gonna call the fans? Our fans.
Oh, right. Because we went through that with this one.
Yeah.
You know,
I meant
Unashamed Nation. But
when Cy tops a story, because he tops everybody's story.
Right.
Because they're just
they're better.
They're better. Then they could say you know, they got sidekick.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Like, I like the way you think. Yeah. Like you think.
Like so when somebody said. Like when somebody gets mossed, right?
Yeah. That's right.
So I said, you've been mossed.
He said it needs to be short and simple, and it needs to be some play on Psy. He's like, what we need is a 2-letter word that starts with Psy.
Hey,
I said, is?
You just gave me what we're going to call my fans. Okay,
you told me.
No. But see, we discussed this the other day and asked him, and I said, well, hey, let's call them the cool people. I said, because we
the cool.
Yeah, the cool people. I said, they're fans.
How about the dazed and confused?
No. Now they're going to be called the psychic. Cool people, boy.
You like my sidekick.
I like the sidekick. Okay.
Yeah, which is good because you got all the sidekick. So is Johnny D, is he kind of like the quarterback of that podcast? Is he kind of the, or is it Martin?
No.
I mean, Johnny D's.
I bet Martin is.
Well, no. Martin's a quarterback, but everyone's okay.
So what is Johnny D?
He looks like an offensive tackle.
Yeah, but hey, I know, but every once in a while they just sacked. Martin gets sacked, so Johnny takes eight. He comes in for one play.
I've never seen Johnny D do anything other than giggle.
No, he's actually pretty good in this podcast. He really is.
He was on. I think he was on Willie's podcast.
I've heard him pontificate on anything.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh,
besides Willie's schedule.
Yeah.
Oh, he's
like Willie's impersonator. Or
look, John D is like old Airedale dog. He's a lot brighter than he looks.
Hmm.
What kind of dog are we talking?
Airedale.
That was Dad's line. Remember guy told him in North Carolina he was like an old Airedale dog. He was smarter than he looked. Isn't that what he told you?
So what are y'all going to talk about?
I was told that by a gentleman one time. He said, you know, I said, what'd you get out of that speech I just gave? He said, I'll tell you what I got out of it. You like an old Airedale dog. You ain't dumb as you look. I thought. I told him, I said, I appreciate it. He's turned around and walked off.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yep. I guess there's some things that are better than others.
What are we going to talk about?
Well, I'm just curious. What?
Any and everything.
Oh, so it's.
I even told him the other night when we ended, before I gave him a scripture to think about. I told him.
So you
had
some spiritual stuff in there.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, because they asked me, said, you got anything else to say? I said, yeah, I got something to say. I said, Proverbs chapter 1, if you read it, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. I said, folks, you need to think on that.
Hmm. That's how we end. You can't spell spiritual without Psy.
Right. You can't spell a lot of stuff without Psy. You can't spell rich without a I. So my name has got a lot of good things in it, okay?
You can't spell rich without an
Psy yesterday, so we're hunting.
Oh,
it's,
my goodness.
It's 35 degrees, and the wind's blowing 30 miles an hour. These two gentlemen are more concerned at this stage of their life about heat than they are killing any ducks.
Well, that's
right. They're obsessed with heat. There's butane bottles out here as far as man can see.
Right.
So we get to the blind. Jay, the night before, I said, Jay, we're going to need some heat on our side. He's like, got you covered. Well, we get out there.
You're going to need some what?
Heat. Well, because of the wind.
Yeah, we're the ones that don't know whether you want a hot dog to stay warm. Let me get some heat down here.
35 miles per hour.
Them old coots over making sure they got 8 words of heat.
Be careful, because you know where this is going.
Yeah, I know.
So
where
we get
going.
Out there, and they both, for whatever reason, thought the other one was bringing the heat, and
uh-oh.
They have no heat.
Uh-oh.
We have we have about 50 duck blinds.
Yeah.
When we, not every one of them
has got
have
heat
central
in
heat.
That's right.
Central
That's
heat
right.
Cajun cooker back there.
He's playing the fiddle on you.
Central heat, Cajun cooker. But some of the blinds, sometime I thought I left one in there, but I didn't. I got it down to the one down yonder.
So,
well, we're out of luck.
So listen
to this. Hang on. Let's take a break. We've talked about this quite a bit on the podcast, especially this year with the COVID kind of driving everybody to the internet for business meetings and everything else. Of course, it's driven a lot of cyber thieves as well, and so they're finding out new ways to steal stuff. And now they do it through the internet, which is, of course, one of the reasons Dad talks about the bad stuff on the internet. So these guys can go find your home title, which is kept somewhere, you know, digitally, and steal it. And that's what they do. And so there's a company called Home Title Lock that basically is going to protect your home title. So the way you find out about this is you go to HometitleLock.com. You register your address, make sure you're not already a victim. Use the code radio and you get 30 free days of protection. So that's HometitleLock.com. Use the code radio to give you 33 days of protection.
So Si, I look up and Si sits down on a bucket that's been in the blind for 10 years. Of course, it breaks. And you know it's rotten because Si don't weigh 90 pounds. Right, he used to weigh 130. He's down about 90. So the bucket breaks. He gets up there, and Jay said, "You all right?" He said, "That wind." I'm like, Si's playing the death card here on this heat. So Jay said, "All right." And so he gives them our heater.
Yep.
So we sat there, froze our butts off. Of course, I was telling jokes 10 minutes later because he's warm.
He's a warm
he's
man.
He's happy.
He's happy. The he's oxygen's like, flowing again.
Then he said, "Boys, don't ever remember this. If I do die," he said, "y'all throw me in the back of the four-wheeler like a deer and haul me to the house." I was like, "Thank you, Si, for that morbid thought." Well,
No, that was Jay that said that.
Oh, I thought you said
it. No, Jay said, he said, "Hey, you'll probably die in a duck blind or deer hunting." He said, "But don't worry about it." He said, "When you kick the bucket," he said, "I'll throw you in the back of the wheeler just like a big old buck deer."
It was funny.
Just remember, we're reaching the age now where on this go-around, there's not too many left for us. Yeah. We're the last two standing out of a family of seven.
Si said
Ma is gone. Pa is gone. But they departed because they were godly.
That's right.
And all our brothers and sisters, they're all departed.
They left the earthly tent.
So Si and myself, we're the last Robertson standing out of that family group.
Si said the only reason that we're the ones still alive is because we both hunt. Because they didn't hunt like we do. So he said, "That's why I'm going out here."
Well, he said
Tommy hunted a lot.
Yeah.
Well, 2 years older than me.
Yeah.
Until he just couldn't.
Had
me
one
too.
Of these
yeah.
rare
well, that's true.
Mental things, you
yeah,
know.
That's true.
Just
which that's what's amazing to me. Not only did all of your siblings pass on, you know, no, and nobody made it to 80, but most of them had, you know, severe dementia toward the end, especially Jan. She wasn't even 70 years old.
As far as I know, none of them, which is kind of a certain interest, none of them ever broke down and bought a cell phone.
Cell phones.
No, it wasn't no phone people.
None of them would use a cell phone.
And they all believed.
All seven. And Si and I don't either.
And they all believed. Or believers.
Well, hey, the reason I don't have one, it won't work for me.
Oh, boy.
It's only as good as the operator.
No.
Operator problem.
No. Not
you
operator
have
problem.
This argument again right
no,
now?
No problem with you.
Yeah, we're gonna solve it because he says it's my fault. No. This is equipment problem.
Tens
okay?
of millions of people.
Because my wife has
what?
Bought
equivalent problem?
Equipment problem.
Equipment problem.
Okay. My wife has bought me two. The last one was $1,000. Okay.
Uh-oh.
It will not work. I've been on planes, went to Nashville, or going somewhere for my singing gig with my band.
So it won't work when you're at 30,000 feet.
No. This is when I'm in the airport and land.
Oh. All right.
I have to call my band members and say, "Where are you?"
And what's the band members called?
Huh?
What's your band called? I just
want to Uncle Si and Psychotic. But anyway, look.
You're pushing the wrong buttons.
No. They try to make this idiot-proof, okay? I've got a phone that all I got to do is touch home, it comes on.
Well, you proved them wrong.
No. So I get it's on. Then I touch phone list, it gives the phone list, and then whoever I want to call, they've got the name and the phone number, and all I've got to do is touch their name, it calls them.
And nothing happens.
Nothing will happen. Okay, so I'm standing there at the airport waiting, and it always happens. A fan comes up and says, "Uncle Si, can I take a picture?" I said, "We'll make a trade. I'll give you a picture if you will call this number on this phone." Random people. So look,
you're living like this?
No, yeah. One woman, okay, and says, "Well, give me your phone, I'll call him." I said, "Darling, if this stupid thing would work, I wouldn't need you to call him." I said, call on your number. She said, give me the phone. So she takes my phone. She's trying to call him. Won't work.
I know
so
why
she finally
it's not
calls him on her phone, and then, hello, yep, come get me. All right, here we go.
You have to have a service provider. If just buying a phone is not enough, somebody, you got to pay somebody.
Si. No.
I guess to use it.
Here's where you're coming up a little short.
Yeah.
No, y'all are wrong. The equipment will not work for me, okay? That's why I don't have one. I bought two.
That's a good spin on why he doesn't have a cell phone. None of them work.
Yeah, it won't.
Because it certainly can't be him.
People listening think that he's kidding. Oh, he's dead serious.
We need to hook side with them, our folks at Patriot Mobile, you know, to get him lined up on the
side. And it won't work. Trust me, it will not work.
Have you had anybody younger than 25 years of age look at it and see what the problem is?
My wife has went to...
She's 70. She's your age. I said less than 25.
Look, go to the millennials. Go to the millennials.
Two 70-year-olds looking at a cell phone? That ain't going
to
get it.
Go to the millennials. You got to drop down to the millennials.
Folks, welcome to my family. They are hard-headed. Okay? It will not work. Trust me. I've had two.
They're not on your side.
Oh, no. Oh, yes,
hundreds of millions of people are having cell phones that work.
I'll give you an example.
It's you. It's not the phone.
No, it's not me. I had a guy in the military that was in my platoon, okay?
All right.
Look, you could give him the $10,000, what is the Swiss watch? Okay, the best made. Cost 10 grand.
A Rolex. They're 100,000 now.
A Rolex.
A Rolex.
Okay, make it 100,000. You could give him 100,000 if he put it on his wrist. It's dead. And look. And the greatest
watches died when they got on
the No.
This is your argument for why your cell phone doesn't work?
And the greatest watchmaker ever cannot resurrect this watch once that man put it on his arm. It died, and it's going to stay dead. That's the way phones are with me, folks. They're dead.
So you really, as your magnetic personality, you're overwhelming these cell phones.
Something will make it not work for me. Trust me, okay? I've done bought two.
You know it's not brain power.
No, it ain't me. I think there's a song called that. It ain't
See,
me.
They think he's kidding right now, Jace.
I know.
Hey, I'm dead too. Hey,
they don't know.
I'm dead serious, folks.
It took me until about 20 years of age before I remember we was over hunting, and I said he's serious. And he said, yeah. I said I thought he was kidding.
Yeah, he called me off on the side. He said, listen, your brother, my uncle. He's serious about all this stuff. I said, oh, yeah.
We had the weirdest conversation.
He said, I've been watching him for 10 years. I didn't think he would really believe it.
Yeah, I thought he was kidding, but he's not kidding. Feels like that's why he's arguing.
Jace, you lucky dog, you were named after
Well, and we
standing on the riverbank that day. Remember, Si, when you said, why are you going to call your son?
You got to blame him, okay? I just done what I was told.
It has
His wife, Miss Kay, told me, go find my husband and tell him this baby is on the way. What does he want him named? Well, and I did.
To quote you.
And on top of that, Si and I talked about this. Jace, you're too young to remember. But Si and Christine lived in Junction City when you were born. Because you were in between before you got back in the military. So, like... They kept Jace all the time.
It marked him.
So,
me?
Yeah, you. Your formative years were spent with Si.
I did, with me.
And you were named after him, and that's why you two clashed.
You ever hear
all
me
of your skills and the stock market and all that?
Right there.
Yeah.
Yours truly.
Now, wisdom is proved right by her actions. All right. Matthew 11.
That's it. I agree with you.
I noticed that.
No argument there.
You quote a Bible verse, he'll agree with that.
That's right.
Everything else, no.
He is on board with the Bible.
Yeah, he knows.
So, Si, what are you going to do with the text? Because some in the audience have contacted us, and they want to know, what are we doing in the arena of the coronavirus, the biblical at least five times.
Are we sure we want him to
greet one another with a holy kiss? What are you doing about that text?
I will give you a hug. Okay, but I'm not going to give you a kiss.
You've kissed more women, or they've kissed you, in anybody I've ever been with.
No,
it's a plain text.
It's on the cheek because I know you're married.
No.
But I'm just saying.
So it's a plain text. So said, greet one another, and it says it at least five times in the New Testament, with a holy kiss.
Well, the only thing I can tell you, Lord, please forgive me.
Let's take another break. So it was interesting having Si and Dad both talking about cell phones. That was a whole other flip on the cell phone. Dad just says don't have them. Si says he can't have them
because they won't work. He had a military buddy whose watch never worked when he was 40 years ago.
So we told Si he needs to maybe check with our sponsor, Patriot Mobile. He may not have coverage. Jason is like, it takes more than just a phone. Maybe
when
that's
you
what it
said
is.
That, he thought he was talking about some kind of missile defense system.
Exactly. So Patriot Mobile, we've talked about before on here. They're basically a Christian conservative wireless provider. That's kind of how they hang their hat. If you don't want to go with AT&T and these other big corporations, and they got a deal going until December 19th. You can get a Samsung A11 for yourself and someone else. So that's two phones for free. And you also get a free month of service. So it's a good time to sign up if you want to switch. It's very easy to do. You go to patriotmobile.com/Phil, patriotmobile.com/Phil, or you can call them at 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. You get a free activation, special gift if you use the offer code Phil, patriotmobile.com/Phil.
I don't know what this means.
Besides,
he means he ain't kissing them.
They're kissing it. Last time I went on a trip with him, coronavirus was out. 10 women kissed him on the cheek.
Watch it. Watch yourself out there, man.
No. Here's the thing.
He wasn't kissing them back. Hey, you, I'm just saying. I did see that. I'm not embellishing. That happened 10 times.
You can tell by looking at him.
I was humbled.
Oh. Well, look, hey. The simple part of it is, hey, when you've got it, you got it. And, hey, I don't even know what I got, but I got it.
I'll agree. It was quite impressive. So, it made me think there's a lot of women out there who perhaps are just as disturbed as you are.
Well, the story goes that early on, Si was getting a lot of marriage proposals from kids trying to fix up with their grandmothers because they didn't know Christine was around because she wasn't on the show. And so we looked into it, and Dad's like, what is wrong with womanhood in America? I mean, they're all after your Uncle Si. And I said, well, I don't know, but what's even more strange is 90% of them are from the state of Alabama.
Really?
90%.
Roll Tide.
What I saw was all demographic, all ages, all ethnic backgrounds. I was surprised.
Everybody loves Uncle Si.
Well, yeah, they just screaming and hollering, kissed him on the cheek.
So there was a musical, a Broadway level musical. It didn't last long, shockingly.
Sure. it's called a suitcase musical. It means when it airs, have your bag packed.
Yeah, when somebody brought it up, I said, y'all actually
do not unpack your suitcase.
It lasted about a month in Vegas, but here's what was shocking though. It was great. It was very well done, and my favorite number from the musical was the actor that played Si, who was excellent, by the way. And it was called Ladies Man. You remember it, Si? Oh, and so we were at the opening together, and I laughed so hard at Si laughing at this number called Ladies Man because he kept, changing his outfits. He kind of went through 50 years of Si, which was really funny.
He was actually really good.
He was outstanding. Really was. He was funny. He was a good singer. Yeah. These were Broadway-level people.
I think.
So why didn't it work?
Because we're just too far down the unsophisticated.
I mean, think about it. We're going to do a music.
No.
They did a fabulous job. But it was really good. It was
Look, we had a song or an album that went platinum, people. Our Christmas album.
That was different.
Not everybody can say that, by the way, that's in the music business, right, Si?
Yeah. We had world-class producer, and some of our family can actually sing. So, I mean, we had a few things going for us there.
I mean, Dad was on there singing with George Strait. Yeah.
And I've never met the man. I said, they can do anything. Who? They said, George Strait. I said, I've heard of him. I said, and they had pictures. Yeah. I was standing there with him, you know, and I was like.
It was like a cardboard cutout.
It was fun, too, and it was Christmassy, and it represents Jesus.
So I did
Jesus.
The Grinch. It was excellent.
Yeah, it worked.
It worked.
All I know about it is not much money came my way. I don't know where the money went. Maybe it went to Si. I don't know where it went.
Hey, I got my share of it.
Why do we bring up this argument?
Every time.
Look, Willie and I got the money because we put the money up. So we paid.
Why do you pay if you want a platinum record? Why do you pay somebody?
Because whoever invests the money, they get the profit.
We're back to the investment.
So y'all got
again.
A check for participation.
Now I understand.
No, you got a check, too.
Him and Willie got the money.
Yeah. You got the money.
You can say that said, over okay. and over.
Now, I thought, well, okay. where's all, don't you make a lot of money?
You received
that?
A
hey,
check.
Hey, man, you got what the dog shot at.
No, I got fleeced.
You got a check. You got a check in the mail per song, which is normal status.
I didn't even get enough to
wait till I see. Wait till I see Willie next week.
Yeah, this was his idea. It wasn't mine. He just told me, tell him to quit arguing about it, because I told him I was going to give him a check.
This what's it called, Access TV, and you know, and someone says our goal our whole life was to get a platinum album, you know, and they said go on and on, and once that happened that opened up doors and they moved into big houses, there's an entourage following. I thought I didn't get due to squad out of it.
Well, because hey. The singers only make a little, they the people who make them
what
money.
Do you figure they paid George Strait, because I was singing a duet with him.
I think he probably turned down the fee that they were going to give him.
Hey, what's Willie's nickname?
Whiskey Barrel?
No.
Oh, Boss Hogg.
But somebody showed me a plaque.
Boss Hogg, his name's Slick. Now I understand. Boss Hogg and Slick.
By the way, how many do you have to sell, Jace, to get a platinum on it?
A million.
Huh?
That's a million.
I went platinum in 3 months, so I don't know where it's at now.
It did a. That's a million.
That's a million sales.
What's gold?
Like half of that, I guess, is 500,000 is gold.
You mean you sell a million albums, it's $1 million.
Well, it went gold.
I mean, it's
about
not a
30
million
minutes.
Bucks.
It went gold in about 30 minutes. It went platinum in
about
3 months.
Aren't y'all re-releasing it now? Or
we were, but it got delayed. Oh, okay. I made a big deal about that they were fixed to do it, but Willie's like, he wanted Deer Hunt Montana. And I think Willie has a new song he wants to do.
Right.
And Missy's working on the other song, but...
Because you have to update a couple of songs to re-release, right?
Yeah, every 5 years, if you don't update it, then they take it off like iTunes and Apple. So they'll do it, but it'll probably be next Christmas. But I think it'll be better now because it'll give them more time to do it.
If you've never
So y'all going to keep doing this?
Oh, yeah.
Well, because they're making money. That's
People like it.
Now I know why no one ever called me.
Did they
call you on it?
No.
No, because...
Hey, I know what they called it. Didn't call for two. No money.
Well, here's why. Because when we had the first meeting, if y'all remember, we announced that my lovely wife said, y'all will be paid for your song, but we're going to do a Christmas album. And both of you went, well, this won't work. Which is why you didn't put the money
I
up
just
front.
Looked around and I said... Do you folks really believe this will work?
And for that reason, you
got a
small check.
And they looked at me right in the eye, and the producer, I got him off on the side. I said, dude, come on out with it.
Buddy Cannon, by the way. He's a famous producer.
He's outstanding.
I said, come on out with it. You actually think this worked? And he looked. He was just dead cold-faced. He said, oh, this is going big. And I said, how would you know that? And he said, I've been doing this for years. This will go big.
Hey, he was Willie Nelson's guy.
By the way, he's going to help us with the new
is he?
Yeah.
Buddy's amazing.
We're getting band back together, Si.
Band's coming back, Si.
If you come up with a new song, we may
work. You're going to have to double the cash, buddy.
We're negotiating now. This has turned into a negotiation.
On the podcast.
I'll see what we got you. And if you come up with the right song,
we'll double the cash.
You're going to have to up it a little bit, Slick.
I say nothing.
And you tell Boss Hogg the same thing.
Yeah, you got a check for per song.
Let's take another break. So we've been talking quite a bit about our Unashamed merch. They're coming up with some new stuff, Dad. There's a new shirt. The newest one says, Love Always Protects.
which I thought was pretty good, right out of 1 Corinthians 13, which is one of our favorite passages.
I've been saying that the last few months.
Exactly. And so now there's a shirt, which is really good. And I found out that we have the number one and number two bestsellers on the whole Blaze store, you know, with all the other podcasts and shows that are on there. It's pretty good. There's a new one, Dad. You'll like this one. God reliance, not government reliance. There's another saying that's on one of our shirts.
Where they got that?
I don't know. Probably from us. So check these guys out, unashamedmerch.com, if you're interested in getting
this. By the way, it's a good thing for people to make this.
That's right.
Do it in the way of T-shirts or whatever they're going
to
do.
To proudly
display. I'm not knocking them. That's a good thing.
Oh, absolutely. And we want you guys to have it. We're going to get some sent to us so we can show you what it looks like on the podcast. Sweatshirts, hats, mugs. Check them out, unashamedmerch.com.
So, Si, one of the back when the show was just taking off, A&E had this idea, a guy with our publisher, because we're just like we're churning out books. You know, Willie's book was first, then Dad's, and we're selling over a million copies of books. And so everybody's like, everybody's got to write a book. So everybody gets in the queue. And for Si, they had this idea that, you know, because they didn't know Si's depth, they only knew just from the show and the little sayings and stuff. So their idea was, they were going to do a book of just like sayings, like stuff Si says on the show and just kind of crazy stuff, just like a gift book. And so, you know, whatever, that's what they were going to do. So they contact me, the publisher does, because we know her, Phyllis Boltinghouse. She was a publisher back there, or editor. And she said, what do you think about this book idea? I said, well, I think you're wasting a major opportunity. I said, Si's got a major book in him. And I was like, and here's what you do. This was my idea, Si, and then we did it. So it was like, Si needs to tell his story like he tells his stories, you know, with a little embellishment, a little bit of crazy stuff in there. But I said, it needs to be his story. I said, his story is amazing, you know, his life. And so she was like, do you think that'll work? I said, I know it'll work. So they sent Slayball down here, the same one that wrote your book. Mm-hmm. And we did about a 3-day interview. And I was there because I was kind of prompting Si's stories, and Christine came in too. But it turned out to be, it's one of the top sellers of all the books because it was really amazing. It was Si's stories.
Si's kind of the Forrest Gump of right. our family.
That's right.
Yeah, but you got to understand, all them stories really is my life.
That's right.
That's what okay. I mean. But it's like really Forrest is. Gump, because some of them you're like, could he be here and there, but they can't make a movie about you because when like Forrest Gump, you ran naked for the first
See,
few
most
years.
People think that he's putting on an act, and then the real Si is just a normal person around.
You know? Oh, I know.
They don't think he's really like
that.
That's him.
I had one of these news media back in the Duck Dynasty day, and they were kind of
remember he's the next to the last in the family structure. And by then, the genetics and
No, I've heard that argument.
They done got special. They done got special genetics out.
This media outlet was trying to, like, I think it was the paparazzi, it was the restaurant. They were asking me about that. They're like, you know, come on. You know, this Si character.
Yeah.
I said, well, let me just ask you something, if you don't mind. Let me ask the question. If Si was just a character that was made up, how come he hasn't got an Academy Award, an Emmy? This is the grading acting performance of our lifetime.
Yeah. On a reality show.
And the media person was looking like, it's a pretty good point. I thought, you can't make this stuff up.
It was like we talked about it, Si, recently on the Today Show when y'all did the interview. Matt Lauer was trying to make a big deal about it being a scripted show. And I remember Si saying, do you think you can script me? I mean, good luck with that. You know, I'd be a script's worst nightmare.
Well, no, because I actually said that on television, Fox and Friends, I think. The last thing they said before we went live was, don't use the word script. And then they asked some question, and I said, well, hey, look, he walks out there and hands me the sheet of paper with something written on it. I look at it and crumble it up. I said, hey, I'm a director's worst nightmare. So, don't give me a script.
So you describe the script without saying the word. That's what.
Yeah. And all everybody there just went, oh.
You can't spell script without
Si.
That's right, boys.
We can play this game all day.
That's right.
Well, and I learned a long time ago, the last thing you do, because Dad's done a lot of media, the last thing you want to do is tell Dad, don't say something right before the camera rolls, because that's going to be the first thing he says.
Oh, that's exactly what.
That's, we learned that a long time ago.
He'll get up in the mic. I mean, no icebreaker. My son informed me that I should, and here we go. He's whatever just happened.
That's right. Don't do this. Here we go.
It was like the time we did the Fox and Friends, Dad, and we were riding over in the car, and we were promoting one of the early episodes, and it was where you're talking with John Luke about the travails of, you know, dating and the microbes and things that can happen to you. And
sex so, talk.
The pitfalls.
The pitfalls.
The sex talk.
So you're having the sex talk. And so I had seen the clip. I knew that they were going to run it. And so I just jokingly said, well, I noticed, Dad, on this whole list of sexually transmitted diseases, you left out chlamydia. And I was just saying it as a joke. We're riding over in the morning. It's, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning. And you said, yeah, I wasn't exactly sure how to pronounce that, Al. So we recently left that. So we laughed about it. So we get on the set. And so Deucey says, now, Phil, you got this episode. First question, but with your grandkids. And, you know, what is your fear with these kids? You said, well, Deucey, here's my fear. Chlamydia, gonorrhea, herpes. He just ran through the whole list.
Well, when I looked at the CDC and they said 110 million have these various diseases, I thought, well, 110 million. I looked around. I said, that's 1 out of 3. You know, everybody's kind of in a crowd. You tell them that they all get to looking at their neighbors, the ones they're sitting with.
That was your lead on the CPAC speech, too, that year, which was really funny. So,
okay, we ate the eat and run, Si, but.
Dad was late to the party, so he's ready to shut it down. So, Si, I want to ask you something. Because so all the years, like you would come in, you know, like twice a year is the only time we got to see you because you were deployed, yeah. you're overseas a lot. But you managed to hunt still through that whole process. And I want you to describe that a little bit because you've told stories before about hunting in Germany and all that. How did you maintain being able to do that wherever you were? I mean, because we all hunted here. You'd come in and hunt with us, you know, for that couple of weeks during the holiday.
Well, in Germany, you know, I had a buddy of mine, and he got me to go with him a couple of times to hunt. And he said, when he got ready to leave, you know, he's being shipped somewhere else. He said, hey, you need to take over teaching the hunting class, the German hunting class. So that's how I got hooked into that.
What was that all about? You taught the Germans how to hunt?
Yeah. No. I taught the Americans the German way to hunt.
Oh.
Because they have a lot of tradition. Okay.
Like really?
Do they duck
hunt in Germany?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they hunt everything.
Huh.
You know, and like when you kill a deer, you go to an oak tree and break a limb, you know, a leaf off.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
And put it in their mouth. It's called last rites.
Really? You give the deer you give the deer a branch?
A branch. You put a branch of oak.
And you did this?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Hmm. In Germany, be like
why am I just now hearing about this?
Well, you didn't ever ask me.
What about,
hey, if you'd asked me, I'd have told you the story.
What about the deer you shot and he went out in the mustard field and died?
Oh, no. Yeah, me and my buddies hunting, okay? He went to the school and I taught him young. Then I took him on a revere that I was on.
A what?
Well, a revere. That's what they call it. It's like a ranch.
Ranch?
It's like, it'd be like your property down there.
I got you.
Okay. So we go hunting and the mustard field is, you know, they're fixing to harvest it. Okay? It's about all shoulder high, the mustard flowers, you know, all of it solid yellow. We'll never think of them, but okay.
It's a pretty field.
Oh, yeah, beautiful thing. And they're all over Germany in the harvest time. So we're hunting, and I said, hey, there's a buck, and he'll be out there about, oh, probably 150 yards. Don't shoot at him. He's too far, you know. So he's sitting there. Well, hey, the buck pops up, just like I said, you know, and I hear, you know, so I come up there. It's dark, right before dark.
That
I
was
come,
a kitty towel.
Well, whatever.
That's quite the explanation of gunfire.
Well,
huh?
No. Anyway.
It was a German, right?
You know, I see him. He's out there walking through this stuff, and he said, I shot a deer. I said, get out of there. You know, I said, get out of there. You know, so he come over to me, and I said, what? He said, I shot a buck right out there. I said, well, number one, You're way, you're 100 yards this side of where you shot that deer. I can't believe you shot him. I said, you sure he fell? And he said, yeah, he fell. I said, well, you idiot, come on. You know, he's been walking all through the field, you know. So I said, come on, let's go right over here. And I said, then I'll tell you exactly where your deer is laying.
Well, yeah. Si, how would you know that?
Because he popped up every day, and I'd been watching him for 5 days. You know, so look, you know, I walk him up there, and I said, okay, go out there about 35 yards. He'll be out there. Look, he goes out there, and he said, well, come help me drag him out. Well, I go in there and help him, and look, we wasn't even thinking about the mustard gas. So look, we're staggering after we done pulled the deer out. We're staggering, and I'm talking about, whoa. I said, man, I got a bug on here.
This explains a lot.
No. So look, we take the deer to the guy that owns the property, you know, and we're telling him. He said, oh, no, you didn't, you know. And, you know, he could speak English, you know. And he got all just was blurring German there for a while. And I said, whoa.
They die when they go out there.
No, yeah. And I said, no, you don't understand. He said, when we harvest this, he said, we got to wear gas masks.
But they letting y'all hunt in it?
Oh, yeah. No. He said, don't you ever hear the word gas? You know, mustard gas? And then we said, yeah. You know, but we literally got high off of mustard gas. And he said, y'all could have died, both of you.
Did he get the deer?
Oh, yeah, he got it.
Oh. Hi, it's Jason Whitlock. Have you secured your spot for Roll Call 2.0, my annual men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee? Are you looking for an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, to come together across the identity lines the left have drawn to divide us? Join me, country music star John Rich, and Blaze founder Glenn Beck in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. We're going to listen to great music, eat fantastic barbecue, and hear inspiring speeches from myself, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many more. Let's quit letting the satanic left sift us like wheat. Let's come together as men and talk about the sacrifices we must make to restore the unity and shared values that made our country the envy of the world. Visit fearlessarmyrollcall.com to secure your spot.
But I've never heard that till Si told us.
The strangest part of me is usually when you go up after somebody shoots, they tell you where they shot at the deer. But Si said, no. Let me go show you where shot
the
deer.
He was out there walking around in the field about 100 yards too short. And
when
I said,
Burley shot George Jones, they named
the
deer
George
Jones, and Burley shot him. And I saw the deer when he hit him. He went on across the road down there. I walked down there where he shot him. I was looking on the ground, see if I could see any blood on the ground. Burley walks by. He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm tracking the one you just shot. He said, he fell way further than that. So he just walked on by. I just stayed what I did. I walked out there on the side of the road. I looked down. It was pouring down rain. I looked down, and I found a little piece of lung. And I hollered at him. I said, Burley. I said, he went this way.
Right here, piece of meat.
He walks up there, and I show it to him. He said, I thought it was way up. I said, this is where he was. I said, come on. And we just started walking. Walked out there about 75 yards. Old George Jones is laying there. Burley got on his computer, because they said don't shoot him because he's, you know, your
stone. Stone had been like working that deer.
He's your buck. You don't want to kill him because leave him before he make other George Jones. But I don't know why Stone named him George Jones. But when Burley shot him and knew he was dead, he just sent Stone a text. He stopped loving her today. He just sent it to him. And that deer was up there hanging. You know, he had a deer rack. Old Stone been mad about that ever since. It hurt him.
He has not been happy about George Jones with Burley. That one still stings. Yep. Stone,
I just heard him say, there's a big one. And I'm like, well, he said, could you think I ought to shoot him? I said, hey, do what you want to do. He, boom. I wouldn't have shot him.
Burley done it on purpose.
Oh, yeah. He was just trying to get a rise out of it. So.
Yep. That's why the next year, Burley come down and said, you know, Stone, he said, I want to kill a doe. And Stone said, nah, I'll kill you a doe.
Well, Si, we only got a couple of minutes left, but it's been fun having you on, as always.
Been my pleasure.
We want to let you guys know again about the podcast, the new Duck Commander podcast that starts tomorrow. I think it's going to release every Thursday. Isn't that right, Cole, going forward? And I will say this, Si. You make you and Kurt Lively, we talked about on the podcast before, y'all make preaching fun at WFR because they kind of give you some feedback, you know, while you're going. It's sort of like when you speak at a African American church, you know, you get a lot of feedback. In our church, it's Si. I could never quite understand what Si's saying, but I can hear him back there. He's giving me some feedback while the sermon's going on. But that's, I like that, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'm fired up.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm fired up.
And I tell people that all the time because the most oft asked question to me is about Si. What about Uncle Si? Is he as crazy in real life as he is on the show? You know, stuff like that. And a lot of them want to know, is Si a Christian? You know, because like, they don't know him as much from the show as they do us listening to the podcast. I was like, oh, he's big time. I mean, yeah. Si's, if he's in town, he's at WFR, you know, raising the roof, you know, singing praises and amen and sermons.
Bill Stone was telling Phyllis and her husband yesterday, two or three days ago, said Christine, Si's woman, stays in one room in the house and Si stays in another. And they said, what's with that? I said, survival. You tell Christine I said that.
Christine is.
She may listen.
Yeah, that's right. She may be our secret podcast listener.
I doubt it.
Well, she's always listening at the computer, so I don't know.
See, Christine, think about it. She's been putting up a sigh for over 50 years now.
No, no, that's the funny part. People would ask her, saying, well, why ain't your wife on the show? And I said, number one, she's got more sense. And I said, number two, if you asked her personally, she'll tell you, hey, I have to live with that clown. I don't need to be on TV with him.
Which is funny. But we love Si. We always have. And Si's the real deal. It's just what you see is who he is. And I think that's what showed up. Which, by the way, as we close out, it shows you TV executives, you know, Si was just going to kind of be a recurring character, kind of like Mountman initially. You know, they thought, well, a little of him will go a long way. And they didn't realize that he would become the tip of the spear for the whole show, which is why sometimes, you know, people sit around a boardroom table and come up with ideas, but once you actually get it going, you know, and Si became the guy. So thanks, Si. It's always good to visit.
My pleasure.
Thanks for listening to the Unashamed Podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube, and be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.